Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Support for today's episode comes from Jenny Kane. Perfect timing, honestly, because winter is basically here, and my wardrobe could definitely use a refresh. Jenny Kane is a California brand through and through, and their staples make getting dressed easier than it's ever been before. Think minimalist and effortless, but really refined. From luxurious cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories to elevated versions of all your everyday basics, not to mention the most incredible home essentials too. Jenny Kane is here to help you live your best holiday season yet. I get compliments every time I wear a Jenny Kane sweater, and they're so comfortable, I can truly live in them all season long. They're also my absolute favorite thing to gift during the holidays. Speaking of holiday gifting, there's no better stocking stuffer than one or more of Jenny Kane's cashmere accessories. From beanies and gloves to the coziest socks, each is so comfortable and guaranteed to be loved. Gift yourself and your loved ones the best gift of all, Jenny Kane. For a limited time, our listeners get 25% off their first order. Use our exclusive link at jennykane.com/WillCole. That's jennikayne.com/WillCole. jennykane.com/WillCole to get 25% off. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Hi. It's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up, and welcome to the art of being well. I am a leading functional medicine doctor. I get to consult people around the world via telehealth. And I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I wrote Intuitive Fasting, The Inflammation Spectrum, Ketotarian, and the newest book is called Gut Feelings. If you want to learn more about our clinical work, the telehealth center, we actually have brand new telehealth patient options now open for you, and lots of free resources there for you as well. You could check it all out at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. Listeners, we're giving away free signed books no matter when you listen to this episode, right?
Yep.
So excited. People love free books.
They love free anything, but especially your books.
Well, do you sign it, right? Or am I adding in a bonus?
Free signed books every single month. All you have to do for a chance to win is head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. Tell us what you love about the show. You could either leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review itself, or take a screenshot and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole. Also, give the Art of Being Well Instagram page a follow, because that's more exclusive content for lots of things within the Art of Being Well universe. So it's TAOBW acronym, the Art of Being Well, TAOBW on Instagram. Follow that. And me at Dr. Will Cole. And I put a lot of great stuff on the podcast on the Art of Being Well page. Anyways, screenshot that. Either way, we're going to go through the messages on Instagram as well as the Apple Podcast reviews themselves and randomly picking winners every single month. I'll reach out to you. I'll ask which book you want me to sign, and then we'll send it out to you. All right, good luck. About every single month, we have clinical deep dive episodes. We're getting super nerdy as far as nutrition science, health and wellness, medicine, the latest science in living a long, healthy life. And we call these episodes Mental Health is Physical Health, because that's a central part of our work with our telehealth patients, is that mental health is not separate from physical health. Mental health is physical health. So to show this duality, this crosstalk, these bidirectional relationships between the two, we have our lead functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner on the team here at the clinic with me, Andrea.
That would be me. You can't see me, but I'm Andrea.
And you have a really cool smiley face cardigan on.
Okay, I love this sweater. It brings me joy.
It makes me happy too.
Because it's smiley faces.
Yeah, but it's upside down when your arm's up like that. Okay. So it's all right.
So for visual effect, it's a black cardigan with bright yellow smiley faces that are giant, that are about the size of my head all over it. So it does bring me a great amount of joy.
I love it. And on the mental health, mental emotional health side of things, we have our lead emotional wellness coach, Candace.
Woo-hoo. Hey, everybody.
She did a raise the roof.
Well, and I want to add in here and say hello to patients that are listening, because I've been talking to patients this week and I've even got to meet some patients in person, and everyone talks about how they're listeners to the podcast. So shout out to our patients that are listening right now. Hi, guys.
That's right. So everybody's telehealth, so it could be anywhere in the world, but Candace was recently in
Colorado, in Denver.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Hanging out with some telehealth patients IRL, which is fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, just don't tell me on a consult that if you listen to me, because I do shut down emotionally and get really embarrassed.
Oh, no, let them share it.
No, I know. It's good. It's very sweet, guys, and we love hearing from you. And it's really one of our highlights of our day to know that this is reaching people and impacting you the way that it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, embarrass Andrea.
Yeah, like, you can. Will does every day.
Ask her about her smiley face cardigan.
If you do that, that actually would make my day. So,
all right. So in these episodes, we get into really granular topics, conversations about different things that we see clinically, and giving a mental health and physical health. Also, the newest book that I wrote was called Gut Feelings. So giving a gut and a feelings, that's why I wrote that book. And I don't know what she's going to ask. It's scary.
Oh my gosh. You're silly.
Really loopy.
I've been called silly.
Podcast.
Poor Candace today.
This is completely sober.
Yeah. Will and I are just, I think we maybe too much caffeine. I don't know.
No, definitely. Maybe not enough for me.
maybe too much for me. So here we are, the opposite sides of the coin.
Go.
All right. So today, as you mentioned, we are talking about antioxidants. And I want to talk about antioxidants and free radicals. What's the connection? What are they?
Okay. So we hear these terms, free radicals, antioxidants, oxidative stress, right, is another one. What are they? The body makes both of these. They're not inherently bad. I think that sometimes we can be overly reductive with conversations like this. Same with inflammation or bacteria, right? And like, oh, bacteria is bad. Well, bacterial overgrowth is not good, but a lack of bacterial diversity isn't good either. So it's when you're talking about free radicals and antioxidants, it's the yin and the yang. It's both sides. It's not one is bad. You want a balance of both in the body, more or less, right? You don't want an over accumulation of one or the other. So, but I would say this, the average Westerner living in the world today, it's tilted towards one thing, right? It's tilted towards, generally speaking, more free radicals, which are these highly volatile, highly reactive molecules in the body. So the main term for them is reactive oxygen species, or ROS. You'll see that in a lot of studies and conversations around this in the academic and the clinical world. So the most common reactive oxygen species, these types of free radicals, are things like hydroxyl. You'll see an oxygen and hydrogen molecule. You'll see things like superoxide, which is two oxygen molecules. Peroxy radical, which is another reactive oxygen species. So the mitochondria, our cellular energy factories, are what is making most of these. It's a byproduct of energy production, basically. Think of it like this. As we eat food, our body metabolizes that energy. And part of that energy production is we go to the bathroom, hopefully, right? For some of us more than others.
Some we're working on improving that, absolutely.
So to use this sort of microcosm of consumption, energy consumption, the mitochondria is kind of doing the same. And this is the way that I think about it in part, is that these sort of byproducts of energy production are some of these reactive oxygen species. Now, that's not entirely the best analogy, because research shows that these reactive oxygen species, these free radicals, actually serve some benefit in the body. They help with cell signaling. They help with actually immune system defense in balance. Antioxidants' job is to neutralize those free radicals. So an accumulation of free radicals is associated with pretty much every health problem under the sun. So antioxidants are meant to be there in ample amounts and adequate amounts to attenuate the overaccumulation of these highly volatile molecules that are pro-inflammatory, which I maybe you won't ask me the connection between the two, but basically think of it like this. The level of oxidation, think of it as almost like a rusting of our cells. Like we're made up of cells. We have these phospholipid membranes on all of our cells. This oxidation or rusting of our cells is really what oxidation is, caused by these reactive oxygen species. But the severity of that oxidation is just basically the equation of how much oxidants we have versus antioxidants. And if we have an accumulation of oxidants, not enough antioxidants, you're going to have oxidative stress in the body.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
As I am recording this episode, I'm in between consulting telehealth patients and I'm sipping on something that I have every single day. You all know what it is, right? It's AG1. You better know this by now. I have drank AG1 for years now. It's been such a game changer in my energy levels, my gut health, my stress management, my immune system, all the things. And since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining the formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. So what is it? Think of it like a multivitamin, multimineral, an adaptogen blend, a functional mushroom blend, a probiotic blend, all in one. I just put one scoop of AG1 in a glass of water, mix it up, it mixes very easily. It tastes amazing. And it's one simple thing that I can do every day to support my foundational health. AG1 has a team of doctors and scientists. It is tested for 950 contaminants. And is NSF certified for sport, is formulated based on the latest science and maintains high quality standards. AG1 is a supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why they've been a partner since day one of The Art of Being Well. It's something that I use, my team uses, our telehealth patients, we recommend it. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. So try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3, K2. Get a whole year supply of that, as well as 5 free AG1 travel packs, which I take everywhere I go. You get both of those with your first purchase. So go to drinkag1.com/Will Cole. That's D-R-I-N-K-A-G and then number1.com/Will Cole. Again, that's drinkag1.com/Will Cole. Check it out. So you know your credit score and how much you have in your bank account, right? But do you know your longevity score? MD Lifespan has built an algorithm that reviews 40 plus questions about your current health, your lifestyle, your family history. Then using that information, they can tell you exactly what your life expectancy is, also known as your longevity score. Pretty crazy, right? Once you know your score, MD Lifespan can give you testing and therapy recommendations to help you improve your longevity score based on your results. MD Lifespan has helped thousands and thousands of clients discover and address health issues that resulted in them living longer and healthier lives. MD Lifespan is the longevity clinic based out of Chicago, Illinois. However, they can help clients all across the United States. MD Lifespan created the longevity score, which can be found through the homepage of their website or by visiting mylongevityscore.com. And if you haven't listened to the CEO, founder, chief medical officer over at MD Lifespan, his name is Dr. Paul Savage, go back and listen to the episode. It will blow your mind. MD Lifespan should be your go-to resource for all your longevity needs. To find out what your longevity score is, visit mylongevityscore.com to fill out the questionnaire and find out your recommendations. You can also visit mdlifespan.com and find the link on their homepage. That's mdlifespan.com, mdlifespan.com, or mylongevityscore.com.
I think it's a perfect analogy, and I love the way that you describe that. You talked about what oxidative stress is. Can you explain to people what is the difference between oxidative stress and inflammation?
Sure. Oxidative stress and inflammation are inextricably interrelated because one can beget the other. The more oxidative stress you're going to have, you're going to upregulate pro-inflammatory pathways. And then conversely, the more pro-inflammatory pathways you have going on in the body, you're going to have more oxidative stress. So they're part of the same cascade of pathways that are happening that are associated with pretty much every health problem. So if you're talking about chronic fatigue, autoimmune problems, digestive problems, metabolic issues, heart disease, and even things like anxiety and depression, neuroinflammation, there's a lot of both going on, pro-inflammatory upregulation as well as oxidative stress as well.
No, I think that's great. And I want people to understand this difference because, again, there's a lot of things that are being pitched to people and people hear about these supplementation or different foods that they need to focus on. And it's good to understand there's a balance. I loved your analogy of using the bacteria because that's so good. We don't want to just chalk something up to bad until we fully understand the mechanisms of it.
Yeah. And that's why we'll get into it. Like, more isn't always better with these things. And you don't think, oh, that's like this, like the free radicals are some demonic force you need to like subjugate and like destroy and pummel. No, that's not the way that it works. We need to realize that the body has these pathways to really defend us. And we in our Western mind like to think good, bad, like you destroy you versus saying, what is the inherent function of this within balance?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. There's free radical defense and there's antioxidant defense. And we need to realize they're both there to protect us. We don't want an excess of either.
Exactly. I agree. So I think now that we have a good baseline understanding of what these antioxidants are and their function, I want to hear what some of your favorites are. So I want you to just, you're going to give me some information on your favorite antioxidants and we can talk a little bit about each of those.
Okay. So let's, can I say one thing before we jump into that? That came to mind is what's the causes of, since I'm saying most people are in this pro-oxidative stress, like why? I would say environmental toxins, environmental pollutants are the top.
Yeah.
And these are things that we see on labs all the time, ubiquitously. And that's why we're seeing this epidemic of these reactive oxidative oxygen species being accumulated in the body and pro-inflammation levels high in the body. So environmental toxin would be number one. Chronic stress would be another one.
And when you say stress, can you elaborate? Because people tend to think stress is just mental and emotional, or they just think of it as physiological, but it can be both.
It can be both physiological and psychological stressors, which is another reason why we have these mental health as physical health episodes, to realize that their underlying gut problems is stressful, but a stressful job or, you know, some external mental, emotional life stressor is, they're both going to create higher levels of these reactive oxygen species in the body. So mental health is physical health, and physical health is mental health. Excess metals, like heavy metals, excess like minerals, even many of these, like iron, copper, chromium, we need all these things. But an accumulation of these is pro-oxidative. That's why when we're looking at iron on labs, more isn't always better. Like, we need iron for oxygen, mitochondrial function, but too much oxygen is oxidative. So it's going to cause that rusting, this pro-inflammatory issue. So if someone has an iron overload, hemochromatosis, whether it's genetic or acquired through eating too much iron-rich foods or supplementing with iron or an iron infusion or whatever reason, that's pro-inflammatory. That's pro-oxidative in the body. Excess UV light is oxidative. Different types of radiation can cause these free radicals as well. So those are some reasons why. And then the modern Western diet is nutrient deficient, right? It's lacking a lot of nutrients, which is causing the body to overcompensate and creating this stress in the body as well. So
would you say those are labs then that people would want to run in conjunction with this?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So we want to look at nutrient deficiencies, which a lot of nutrients act as antioxidants. So if somebody's lacking certain key nutrients in the body, that can be a pro-reactive oxygen species, pro-free radical state in the body. Looking at inflammation markers is a good idea. We can measure actual oxidative stress markers in the body through the Dutch test has a marker, as well as the Oates test, which has more mitochondrial oxidative stress markers. So these are urine and saliva tests that we would run to look at oxidative stress in the body. And we run these labs for everybody around the world, and some blood tests too that would show us that this as well.
With inflammation. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. I like the setup.
I'm sorry. So setup.
Setup for what are your favorite antioxidants?
Yeah, I feel like we need a drum roll, Marshall.
Marshall, we are so sorry. This is apparently going to be an every week thing. So drum roll.
Every month thing.
Every
month thing.
Every time
Let's
we do this.
Let's not carry it away. Keep the people guessing.
Keep our drum rolls in balance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Meanwhile, just like Marshall's our free radicals. Listening to this in post and be like, no, I'm not that going to do the damn drum roll. Okay.
Antioxidants.
First one that I'd say is glutathione.
Oh, love a good glutathione.
Basic answer, but also important. It's used a lot, right? We use that word a lot. People call it the master antioxidant. It really is. It's made up of three amino acids in the body: cysteine, glycine, and glutamic acid. Those together combined, called glutathione. Like, you know what I'm thinking.
I know what you're thinking. I don't know that.
Captain Planet.
If you're going to say Captain Planet is a 90s reference.
Yeah.
If you don't know what it is, YouTube it. It'll be the greatest experience
of
your life.
Yeah, out there. I'm sorry. You were born in the wrong decade.
Yeah.
He was 90 to 94. I looked it up.
Oh, really?
I think.
We talk about it at the clinic too much.
Too much.
This just
Well, we're combining powers a lot, and it just brings us to
that's our cultural reference every time we have a great idea.
With these powers combined,
water, heart, with your powers combined, great show.
So essentially, what this is these people, these particular things are forming.
Yes.
The greatest known protector,
yes,
glutathione.
So the cool thing is the body makes this on its own. So a lot of nutrition, and we're talking about nutrient density, and even some of these compounds I'm going to be talking about today actually are either precursors or upregulates the body's ability to make glutathione inherently, endogenously. So with that said, supplementation of glutathione can be a great tool and one that we use clinically. The problem is glutathione is highly unstable and degrades very easily. So its potency and the effectiveness when you're taking a glutathione supplement as is, most of them are really junk on the market, and they're not very viable. And we've had different labs test all the most famous common glutathione supplements on the market, and they actually have they're low as far as their viability is concerned. You're going to get maybe some benefit from them, but they're not as potent as you would think because they're not very stable. So we typically would recommend a liposomal glutathione. Those are typically not always refrigerated. You can get certain kinds that are shelf stable and do not need to be refrigerated, but just be on the lookout, right? And you know, if you're a telehealth patient, you're getting the most potent type of glutathione that we've seen work for people. And I don't want people to just take supplements for the sake of it and it's just expensive pee. Have it be effective. But anyways, glutathione is one of the best ways to fight and downregulate oxidative stress. So if someone's struggling with one of these chronic health problems, basically every chronic health problem that's been studied in this area is associated with low glutathione levels. So the body's, that seesaw is tilted. This reactive oxygen species is too much, and the antioxidants like glutathione is not enough. So the body's sometimes spending more than it's taking in as far as the amount of what the demand for antioxidants are. So if somebody is going through a stressful time in their life, physiologically or psychologically. So let's talk about mold toxins, for example,
exactly.
And chronic Lyme disease or chronic, you know, unresolved trauma. And they're like going through like some therapy and their body's like really having these like flare up demand for, we may have to overcompensate and have more antioxidants for a time to mitigate the consumption of them, because the body's spending more on the antioxidants than it's taking in. And that's not to be saying this is take this antioxidant forever and ever. It's for a time based on labs and the context of what we're trying to facilitate and improve this person's health. So that's how we pulse, so to speak, glutathione for a season. And we're talking about weeks, months, sometimes years when you're talking about recovering from some of these more complex health issues. Other people that are just looking to optimize their health, they may just take it seasonally or when they're feeling run down. But yeah, so that's what glutathione is. It's a great way to combat free radicals in the body. There's studies that show it has longevity benefits, anti-accelerated aging benefits as well, because all of these are pro-oxidative stress mechanisms in the body. As far as a mental health is concerned as well, depression, anxiety are associated with low glutathione levels. Again, I mentioned stress. A lot of medications can deplete glutathione production, so you may have to overcompensate it because if a medication is concerned. So this is something that we see needed from a metabolic standpoint, needed for a detox standpoint, needed for a brain neurological standpoint, very much so. And there are so many studies that are associated low glutathione levels with the pathogenesis or the way that disease is precursor. So something like N-acetylcysteine or NAC, for example, is a precursor to glutathione, which we also use clinically, that is more stable and allows your body, is giving your body the raw materials it needs, so to speak, to produce glutathione endogenously. So we use precursors as well as glutathione as well. So that's going to be my number one pick, but it's sort of broad because the body's making it on its own and how are we supporting it?
Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. And again, I think you're mentioning of why it could be depleted, what's driving this in the first place, what do we need to support within the body? We talked about supplementation, some good ones on the market, some not. So I think glutathione got its love today and we did it justice. Do you have other favorite antioxidants that you want to talk about?
Who would I be if I didn't?
I don't know. Not you. So.
That would be shameful. Astaxanthin would be number two. This is in no particular order, by the way. This is just off the cuff.
I don't know. I do favor glutathione, though. It's kind of, in our clinic, it's a friend of ours.
It is. So. Astaxanthin would be another one. It's actually a red-orange pigment. It's a carotenoid, which we'll talk about carotenoids and other things, but these are in part what makes things like shrimp and lobster and crabs and salmon and flamingos their pink color, because it's actually made from a green, of all things, microalgae. and different yeasts as well. So the animals that eat this microalgae get the pigment from them. So it's a green algae, but the algae, when the algae is a little bit stressed out, when it's too much light hits the green algae, it makes this carotenoid to protect, actually reduce, to reduce the oxidative stress of the algae. So we are actually getting the benefits of the algae trying to increase antioxidants for itself, and us consuming it can get the benefits. So that's why you see these different animals that I mentioned. And when we eat those animals, not flamingos. If you are, you're a beast. What are you doing eating a flamingo?
Right now.
I have so many thoughts about that, but I honestly, my immediate reaction was to agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, who hunts flamingos? I don't know anybody. But algae, shrimp, lobster, crab, salmon, these are carotenoid-rich, astaxanthin-rich foods. So they are, it's a fat-soluble substance, astaxanthin, meaning that it's better absorbed when consumed with fat. So having healthy fats within your diet. And salmon, naturally, has that. A lot of these foods that I mentioned have these healthy fats to help with the bioavailability of these carotenoids like astaxanthin. But it is a great way to combat oxidative stress in the body. It's an antioxidant, helps to modulate the immune system in a positive way. It's fantastic for our skin, just like glutathione. Studies have shown it decreases heart disease risk, be neuroprotective as well as far as the brain is concerned. And it's unlike other carotenoids or even something, a fat-soluble vitamin like vitamin A, doesn't have like a toxic amount of them. It's very potent, but it's not going to cause these sort of negative by taking too much. Not that you want to take too much of anything, but you know what I mean? It's not as prone to these sort of toxic levels in the body.
It's just hard to do. It's hard to get too much.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be an upper limit of toxicity in the body. It's not even that it's difficult. It's not going to create, when you are taking mega doses of astaxanthin, not that I would recommend it, there's no upper limit of causing toxicity, which is great. Don't try to test it, people. Don't try to test it.
I don't know anybody that could eat that much salmon.
Yeah. But there's studies, many of these are mice studies, but there is some trials. This one study looked at 30 women and 36 men, and they took oral and topical astaxanthin. And what they found is that the combination of, like, again, beauty from the inside out on the outside in, reduced wrinkle and age spots, which also improving skin elasticity, texture, moisture of the skin, improving the skin barrier. And oral astaxanthin alone had similar effects without any taking anything topically as well in another small trial of 34 people. So it's a great way to support collagen and the texture of your skin and hydration of your skin, but also helps with energy levels, reducing heart disease risk that I mentioned earlier. There's one clinical trial that was done on 27 overweight people, and they supplemented with astaxanthin, and it lowered LDL levels, oxidative, small dense LDL particles, which are oxidative particles. They're the protein carriers that carry cholesterol around, kind of like rusted BB bullets that carry cholesterol around, which we measure on labs. And we can see when someone's increasing the nutrient density along with, you know, many things, but these pro-antioxidant-rich foods and supplementation, we can lower these pro-oxidative stress markers like small dense LDL particles. And astaxanthin has been shown to decrease small dense LDLP and improve those fluffy, buoyant, large buoyant LDL particles and shift that nuclear magnetic resonance test, that cardiometabolic test that I recommend everybody to run, and moving them from pattern B to pattern A, increasing good cholesterol, decreasing ApoB, which is another pro-inflammatory oxidative stress marker in the body. So anyways, I love astaxanthin, supplementing with it, getting it from food. Great ideas, especially if you're going through these pro-oxidative stress health issues.
Yeah, I love that. And when you say fluffy, I think immediately you tell people fluffy and they think bad because no one hears that they have something fluffy inside of them and that's what you want. But in this particular case, when we're talking about cholesterol and the oxidized pattern, you do. You want the fluffy guys. You don't want the tiny little rusted BB bullets, which sounds terrible.
Like the pattern, the large buoyant, the ones you want, the non-oxidative stressed ones would be like little cotton balls, a little like
clouds.
Yeah, cumulus clouds.
Small clouds floating through. I was visualizing these smiley faces that are on Andrea's cardigan, just too. A little bit more
that's
fluffy.
That's why she wore those. That's why she wore those. It's like a little teaching tool.
This is exactly why I wore it, because it brings everybody joy. And now all of the people listening to this podcast can be brought joy.
You want your cholesterol carried by cumulus clouds, not by rusty BB bullets.
I think that's the most clinical thing you've ever said.
Yeah. You can write that down, everybody.
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Not too long ago, I had the founder of JS Health Vitamins on the podcast. Her name is Jessica Seppel. Her supplements are just so clean, so pure, science-focused vitamins, and this amazing wellness brand that provides targeted formulas to help you meet your personal health goals. These supplements are made in Australia, which have the rigorous standards in the supplement world. And they're created by this amazing, brilliant expert nutritionist, Jessica, who has made these formulas for all of our needs, from our skin health, our digestion, our stress, sleep, hair growth, and so much more. These Australian products are globally renowned for their quality control and regulations when it comes to vitamins. Some of their hero products are their Advanced Magnesium Plus. It contains three forms of bioavailable magnesium: magnesium glycinate, magnesium citrate, and magnesium amino acid chelate. It's carefully designed to support muscle relaxation and recovery, energy production, nervous system function. Another formula that I love from JS Health is their Mood Plus Emotional Balance formula. It contains clinically studied saffron, which we use clinically as well, which has been proven to support a healthy mood, deep sleep, and calms an anxious mind. So what I'd recommend for you to do is visit us.jshealthvitamins.com/WillCole and use code WillCole at checkout for 20% off your first order or subscription. Again, visit us.jshealthvitamins.com/WillCole. There are two products that the team and I have been trying here at the telehealth clinic, and we've been loving it. One is called Beyond Collagen. It's by Live Conscious. It's a collagen supplemented by extras, featuring five types of collagen protein, supercharged with biotin and vitamin C. This formula was crafted to take your collagen experience to the next level. Collagen is fundamental to the beauty of your hair, of your skin health, your nails, your joint health, and also your gut health. And the addition of biotin and vitamin C amplifies collagen synthesis in the body, magnifying its beauty benefits. It's time to express your true radiance with just one scoop of Beyond Collagen every day. And they also have this product called Beyond Brew, which we have been in love with here at the clinic. Beyond Brew is this deliciously balanced dose of wellness for your brain and your body. Wake and brew with their potent blend of six superpowered organic mushrooms, including lion's mane and reishi, plus powerful pre and probiotics for digestive support. They designed this formula to support sharp cognition, gut health, immune system health, and overall feel goodness. So enjoy Beyond Brew as your new morning ritual itself. Or if you're not ready to kick the habit, Simply add it to your coffee or to your smoothies or to your bowls to take things to the next level. So for a limited time, get your next Beyond Collagen as well as your Beyond Brew with an exclusive 15% off for the Art of Being Well listeners only. Simply use promo code Will Cole on weliveconscious.com. Again, that's weliveconscious.com. Weliveconscious.com. Use code Will Cole.
I love where we're going with this. I love your enthusiasm for antioxidants. Are there any other ones that stand out to you?
Other carotenoids that just to be mindful of, lutein and zeaxanthin would be other two other ones. There's studies that show that in many ways astaxanthin outperforms as far as its potency, but I like a synergistic effect. So for us to highlight one and realize that a lot of these things come together, but lutein and zeaxanthin, spelled Z-E-A-X-A-N-T-H-I-N, found in a lot of plant foods, as well as egg yolk, actually has the highest one. Egg yolks are one of nature's multivitamins. It's filled with things like lutein and zeaxanthin. Yeah, so that would be one, but also kiwis, red seedless grapes, which I have some right here.
I love that you just pointed to them, and I love that they're sitting on the ground.
Yes, I know. I know. I'm barbaric.
They are organic, though.
They are. Yeah. Zucchini, squash, pumpkin, spinach, orange, peppers. Like, that's when people say, eat the rainbow, and they say that, right, in the health world. They're saying that largely because of these carotenoids. So lutein, zeaxanthin, astaxanthin, the carotenoids are why people say eat the rainbow. And how many colors can you get on your plate? And count colors, not calories. That's why, is these antioxidants, generally speaking.
I love it. I think that's so good. I have some in mind, and I'm wondering if you are thinking the same. There is an antioxidant that we talk about. I want to see if it's on your list too.
I love that. It's always like telepathy. Quercetin.
It is on my list.
Okay. Quercetin. Quercetin is one that we use clinically. We use it for a lot of patients that have histamine intolerance and mast cell activation syndrome, which we've talked about in previous mental health is physical episodes. So go back and listen to those if you want a deep dive in MCAS and histamine intolerance. But anyways, yeah, it's a flavonoid. It's also a plant-based antioxidant levels in the body. It's a polyphenol. So that's another thing that I want to highlight here, is that when we use the word polyphenol, it's antioxidants. They're just a type of antioxidants that are from plants. But it's been shown, it's found in fruits, it's found in herbs, it's found in nuts and seeds, but it also has this pro-antioxidant function in the body. It also is an antihistamine, which is, we use it for both reasons. But there's studies that show it's really great to lower inflammation levels across the board. Not always, again, you don't have to take it all the time, but specific therapeutic finite periods of time can be helpful. We can talk about that. And if you want to ask me about that, I'm not like telling you to ask me, but if you want to, yeah. But anyways, pulsed specific uses of these really seem to be powerful in the research. And also we see them powerful clinically as well.
I agree. And it was actually going to be something I wanted to touch on, because we keep talking about food a lot. And I love that, because that is primary, right? That's mm-hmm. You got to eat food. Food is medicine.
You can get quercetin in apples, citrus fruits, like I mentioned. Like, you can get them from foods.
Absolutely.
I said that already, but.
True. Yeah. And I think that's really important to talk about, mm-hmm. because food is primary, but mm-hmm. there are certain circumstances in which supplementation can be appropriate. And you were talking about pulsing, you're talking about these specific times. What are the times that come to your mind when you think that maybe leveling up for a time is appropriate, and why?
Yeah. So there are studies that show that prolonged, these sort of higher doses, you can call them mega doses of antioxidants, you can have diminishing returns, because you're tilting that seesaw one to the other. You may start it out with a pro-oxidative stressed state. Maybe you're going through chronic fatigue syndrome or hormonal problem or a metabolic issue or some sort of inflammatory issue or a stressful time in your life where you may want to, as I said, quote unquote, overcompensate or up the amount of therapeutic use so your body can have the reserves there to balance and lower these oxidative stress pathways in the body. But prolonged chronic use indefinite use of these higher doses of supplements, not from food per se, but supplementation, there's studies that show it's not beneficial and actually could be harmful because you need some free radicals in the body to help with cell signaling and help fight cancers. So more isn't always better with this. Now, that's not from food. I don't want people to be afraid of foods. Foods kind of have a limiting factor because plants have these anti-nutrients and these defense mechanisms that kind of slow down the bioavailability of some of them. And like you said, how much are you going to eat of the food to even get to these high levels? So it's sort of, in a way, unnatural to get these therapeutic doses. Now, we can leverage benefits of science and nature here. And that's why there's amazing studies in journals looking at these specific therapeutic doses of these nutrients that for specific, like when you're going through a health crisis, getting to X amount of milligrams of a certain compound, it'd be hard to get through food. So we can use the advancements of science and harness nature in a way that's therapeutic, right? Well, you may need it, but the word is pulse, intermittent, when you need it. That's the caveat here. So your question was, when you're going through a health problem,
yeah.
When you're feeling run down from a cold or flu, or you're dealing with a chronic health problem like we deal with clinically, those are when you would want to use more of these from supplements.
Yes, because it's the balance is now lost. If you have mold toxicity there and your body isn't clearing it, the balance is lost. But on an average person, it may not be necessary.
Exactly.
No, I love that. And I know it's not an antioxidant, mm-hmm. but it is something that I know that you love to talk about. So is there anything you wanted to mention before I shift gears a little bit?
You know what I want to talk about.
I do.
I wanted to talk about sulforaphane. So sulforaphane is an isothiocyanate, which is, it's a sulfur-containing compound, but it is found in food. You can get it in supplement forms as well, but it's found in foods like Brussels sprouts, kale, cauliflower, cabbage, broccoli, a lot of higher FODMAP foods, which some of our patients with SIBO can't have it right now until as we heal their SIBO, then we'll work on reintroduction. But these sulfur-rich foods have sulforaphane, which is a great way to produce glutathione. So it's a great, I love it. It's a food, like a compound that has a lot of exciting science around it to support longevity and detox pathways, and partly because its ability to increase glutathione. So yeah, I did want to talk about it because it's not an antioxidant per se. It's not classified typically, but it produces glutathione. Other foods that help to produce glutathione, in addition to all the things I just talked about, but things like colostrum. In colostrum has hundreds of different compounds that will help our body produce glutathione. And it's basically the first milk from either humans or from cows. And we get colostrum for our patients that have all the bioactive compounds are maintained, but the casein, the dairy protein, which many people have dairy sensitivities to, that casein is removed, as well as the dairy fat. So you're just getting this sort of nature's medicine from the colostrum, which is a great way to produce glutathione. That's why whey protein, if you tolerate it, is another way to produce glutathione. And turmeric is another great way to produce glutathione. So those are some other call outs of producing your own glutathione.
Well, and beyond just glutathione, I think this would be a really big miss opportunity for people to know about some of really awesome things that we're already thinking about for them. And that would be our detoxer and our antioxidant that we have in our collection, which if you look at the ingredients, especially of the antioxidant, you're seeing these food compounds put into supplement form. And that is really where we know that sometimes maybe you're not going to eat a bunch of goji berries. Maybe you're not going to go and have some of these foods that are maybe not super readily available to you. And that's where I think supplementation also has another factor that we can layer into people's.
Yeah. So check out the antioxidant. It's at drwillcool.com. If you're not a telehealth patient, and you just want to do this stuff on your own. The antioxidant is a great source. If you're going through a chronic health problem, that's a wonderful formula of all the flavonoids we just have talked about, the flavonoids from fruits and vegetables that are just wonderful for supporting these pathways. And the detoxer has a lot of these precursors to glutathione, like N-acetylcysteine. It has milk thistle, which helps to support glutathione levels. Quercetin, which we talked about, has turmeric that I just talked about.
has different B vitamins that help with methylation pathways. Yeah, so those are two formulas that are wonderful to upregulate these pro-antioxidant pathways in the body.
I completely agree. And we actually use these regularly with patients.
Yeah. And it has sulforaphane as well. I didn't mention that.
I was going to bring that up for you if you didn't. So I think that's great. I mean, we obviously know if you are a patient, we can look at labs. We can tell you, you don't have to feel overwhelmed by this. I love Dr. Cole, what he was saying about eat the rainbow, you know, count colors, not calories. We don't want you to be overwhelmed. But if you want to take it a step further and you want to understand your body a little bit more, we do run labs and we can help you fine tune this, and you are not alone. So use this information as you see fit. And then if you want to take that deeper dive, this is why we do what we do.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about on the mental health side of things. Like, what are some tools people can do, like metaphysical antioxidants?
Yeah, those protective factors. So I have a few that I want to talk about, but the first one is actually from Gut Feelings. And so just a, you know, quick reminder, if you haven't picked up Gut Feelings and read it and you are going through a health journey, what we hear from patients that have read the book alongside going through their journey is that it's an invaluable reminder. As someone just was sharing with me, they're like, you know, you guys are sharing this stuff clinically with us, but to have it written down in front of me, the way Dr. Cole breaks it down, what is going on between these two, has been invaluable. So just remembering that that tool is right there. It's so accessible. Yeah. So forget normal, I think is my first thing. And this is coming from discussions with patients. You know, our normal for most people is an under layer of trauma that kind of goes through almost everybody you meet has some form of trauma, which is just they've encountered something in their life that their nervous system wasn't able to handle at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's not relative, or it's, you know, it's not, our bodies aren't objective. They're not looking and saying, okay, well, Candace, you know, Will had it so much worse in this way, so your mm-hmm. nervous system should calibrate. So, you know, we're all operating with a normal level of that, and then compounded with daily and chronic stressors on top. And then we all go one step further, I think, especially people that are listening to this podcast, it would be perfectionist tendencies. Mm-hmm. So, and this comes from just wanting to do everything right. And if you're going on a healing journey, wanting to make sure that you're doing everything to help yourself. The issue with that is we continuously put more and more stress or emotional oxidation on mm-hmm. our system. And we need to balance that out and bring some anti-inflammatory oxidative properties to that. Well, how do you do that? And that's where I went back to forget. Okay, we're going to forget normal, because normal is this cake of layered stress. Mm-hmm. What does reprioritizing your health journey look for you? So one of your patients was just sharing with me the other day about looking at everything that they were doing and saying, oh, sleep. I really just want to reprioritize sleep. And the norm that she was talking about was staying up the extra hour to get a jump on her work day the next day, or throwing that last load of laundry in, or whatever it is. Meanwhile, she's like, I know sleep is good for me, but the norm is this overproductive, I'm checking emails the night before kind of thing. So that's my first, you know, whatever that normal layer is for you, looking, really examining those perfectionistic actions that you're taking and where you're really trying to just measure up and be 100% everywhere. Yeah. You have to really say, okay, well, what is normal out there in the culture may not be what's best for me and my health.
Right.
And right now, even
sometimes being quote unquote unproductive or doing nothing makes you more productive when you need to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be able to focus. Exactly.
Yeah. So you can't burn the candle at both ends, that cliche of like, okay, you're not going to be a good quality when you do need to be on.
Yeah.
And that's different for different people. I get it. Different seasons of your life, they may think, oh, wow, you guys are privileged to even say that. But look, this is something we all need to figure out for ourselves. What does this look like?
Yeah, exactly. And then I really do connect that when you're able to do that for yourself, it causes cultural change. I really believe that. Whether in your workplace, with your family, you know, maybe there's a standard in your family where there's this, you know, you have to do these six things in order to be a good family member in this family. You know, when you're able to start to have grace with yourself or reprioritize, you're giving permission culturally too. So I think that's really important to remember. And in Gut Feelings, you talk a lot about us being human beings, not human doers or doings, you know, whatever that phrase is, really stuck with me, because I'm like, yeah, I want to, you know, focus on that being. So that's number one. Number two, you know, What is, I think before we have these conversations, what are the most impactful things that I would, if I were able to sit in front of 100,000 people, and just from my life experience, because that's what I'm speaking from and my, you know, education over the years, what would I share? I think this is probably number one or number two, this next one that I'm going to share, which is this idea of your constancy of value as a human being, not doer. But when I say this, this is really what I mean. Your value is a constant. And so how does this play out that it that gets a little bit skewed, or when is it not constant? Two ways. The first way is that we feel that when people treat us badly or circumstances are not favorable, that we feel bad, we interpret that as a reflection on our value. If we were worth more, somewhere you're making this connection, you may not be articulating it this way. Mm-hmm. If I was more valuable or had more intrinsic value, this would not be happening to me, right? So what do we do? What does that actually cause? When you think that it works like that, and that's your underlying foundation, you are more prone to do the perfectionistic, the doing. Your whole life becomes about what am I doing and what are others doing to me? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that blew it open for me when I was, you know, very young and first learning this concept, was that when people treat you poorly or things happen to you that really affect you in a way that you interpret as negative, it doesn't mean that you're worth less. But when you're being treated well, or when things are going well, or when you're getting accolades, or you're getting the kudos from, you know, whatever stance, it actually doesn't make you worth more either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, I think, is not very often said.
No. Yeah, we'll take the, we take the negative and the positive.
Yeah, we take them both. But what happens is when you're able to disconnect, that, hey, when you tell me I did a great job today, what are you really commenting on? You're commenting on the job that I did, not me the as the person.
Value. Yeah.
And how does this, okay, so tie it back to antioxidant property. How does this protect us? It gives us a neutrality, a buffer between the world or external circumstances and our intrinsic worth and value.
Yeah.
And then I think once you're able to really get grasp this for yourself, you can extrapolate it out onto others and recognize that, you know, when their behavior is a certain way, it doesn't mean that they are worth any more or less, or just because somebody is doing good things. It's our value. All of us is constant. Yeah. So when that's you're saying profound. That, you're like nodding.
Yeah.
What's important. Coming to mind?
Well, it's so important, right? It's important for ourselves. It's important how we see other people and interact with other people, and the discord we have in our inner resistance we have in our hearts towards other people. Like if we start realizing that it's not in who they are, It's not their value of making them more important or a more valuable person. But yeah, it's profound. But also more than anything, the person, it's like you, I see so many people in myself too. We all need to be conscious of checking ourselves with these concepts.
And for me, this translated to being able to see the connectedness between all humanity.
Yeah.
And this has been reinforced. You know, some of my most stressful times were when, you know, someone was creating a situation that was very uncomfortable for me. And for me to go back and realize, like, this person has just as much intrinsic value as I do, and it's their behavior. It wasn't the only way I processed that really heavy time, but it was one of them and one of the key ones. So that's why I'm sharing that here.
Yeah. And to clarify, we're not saying, and you're not saying, Candace, that excuses behavior.
Never. No.
So maybe clarify that. That's the, I think the difference is like you can.
Well, no. And actually it's one of the reasons that I was almost reluctant to share this because I know that's where people go. And that's a piece of, because we're so tied to this, we put morality on everything and there are behaviors that are harmful. Yeah. But the human behind them, there's that distinction. So thank you for emphasizing that.
Yeah.
And then the third thing really is, and I talk about this a lot, but, you know, self-compassion and kindness, then you're able to, so that second step of being able to separate, you're able to come in with a little bit more self-compassion and kindness. And when you aren't operating out of that distance of recognizing there's a difference between your behaviors and you, and there's no real morality to that, that's when sort of those perfectionist behaviors come in.
Yeah.
And patience in real time, like we're talking about this in sort of this broad way, but in real time, this is where patients get bogged down. They are so obsessed with the letter of whatever protocol they're running or whatever supplement schedule they may be on or whatever movement protocol or getting exactly 8 hours of sleep or whatever, you know, we may prescribe to them, that they're losing a lot of the benefit because they're being so all about doing it exactly right.
Yeah. It's the letter of the law versus the heart of the law, the spirit of the law, the letter of the law versus spirit of the law. And that's like a term that's used in different realm with law or, you know, spiritual practices. But the reality is that applies to health and wellness, right? Mm-hmm. There's the protocol, but what's the spirit behind the protocol? And that's why we call the podcast The Art of Being Well. There's the science and the art. This is yin and the yang. You need to hold both in context and not be overly worshipful of one versus the other, because both are important.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have written Gut Feelings, I don't think, if you didn't see this clinically playing out in such a profound way over 13 plus years, right?
Yeah.
And that's why we're talking about this on the podcast, is this is the stuff, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Like the what matters, but the why matters too. So the protocol could be the best protocol for you, but if your why is I'm going to punish myself and stress about this and obsess about it, you need the why to come from a place of grace and lightness. Otherwise, the what can be the best thing in theory, but a source of punishment and be completely counterproductive and actually hurt you.
And that goes to your point, Candace, with the perfectionist mindset. And this is something I talk to patients. I would not be an exaggeration to say daily that there is a difference, and they have to learn it, between perfection and optimization, because it does not have to be perfect to be optimized and make good choices. And so if you have that perfectionist mindset, one of the things I work with patients on is not to try and uproot who you are and what you've shaped your life as for the last 30 years. And it's easier said than done. So that it's just a small shift. It's a small shift from I'm perfect and I have to be perfect to get all this, or what choices am I making and is it the best choice in this moment? Yeah. That's optimization.
Or what are the choices that love me back, right?
Exactly.
Instead of saying this is good or bad, but just like, what are the ones that love me back?
Well, yeah, you're making the best choice in that moment for yourself. That's really what it is. It's not about being perfect in the moment. It's making the best choice in the moment.
And one of those things is doable and the other one isn't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Perfectionism is literally impossible because it's infinite.
Yeah.
And so that's just it. Yeah. One of them is impossible.
I've never met someone that, someone with that energy, they never do enough.
Yeah.
It's always the cap is, it's the next thing and then the next thing and then the next thing. And then you end up with like a supplement graveyard and a pile of labs and nothing to show for
it. And no sleep and clean laundry. Like to your point, like it's like,
Yeah.
No. So all that to say, you know, bringing in these practices, and there is a time and place for self-compassion breaks, which is taking something in the moment, noticing, recognizing your suffering, bringing the mindfulness to the fact that this is normal, that all humans experience this, and then looking at yourself and this thought and this feeling and treating yourself with just a little bit of the compassion that you would give to your best friend, to your child, maybe to your animals. Like if your pet is the one that you can have the most love for right now, you can use that for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I would say, like you were talking about, like these bursts of dosing, therapeutically with a good coach or a good program, you know, don't underestimate the value of doing the like hyper support.
Mm-hmm.
When you need to get through those times, do it. Get that boost to balance what's happening in your life.
I love this. This is great stuff. So everybody that's listening to this, if you want to learn more about the things we're talking about, our clinical work, how we work with patients, lots of free resources on this stuff. If you want more information, check it all out at drwillcole.com. And before we go, we have a very special conversation with one of our actual telehealth patients. Let's get right to it. Darren, my friend, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Dr. Cole.
So, all right, let's start at the beginning. And not to overgeneralize, because everybody is different, but what I've seen, my experience is clinically, a lot of guys don't, it's the cliche of not prioritizing their health, maybe kind of putting their intuition on the back burner and saying, well, I have stuff to do, I'm busy. And a lot of people are like that today because many of us live busy lives and we don't necessarily give the warning signs that our body's giving us the attention that it needs. So can you go back? Was that true for you for a while? What were you going through when we met?
So I'm pretty active. I mean, you guys, I've been doing this now for almost a year. The backstory was everything on the outside was great. So I'm going to be 47 in February. I could still run a close to a 7.5 minute mile. I'm, you know, very active, coach my son's football team. I've been taking, I mean, basically, you know, my wife, Samantha, who's, you know, like she got me into this, to your point. I didn't think I really needed to do it. Didn't really want to do it at first. I've been taking Nexium, and my problems were vastly different from hers. So she was dealing with her own stuff, but seeing how she kind of progressed through it and the changes and how it affected her, you know, I was on Nexium for, other than that, I take no prescription medication, but I was on Nexium for probably 25 years since college. And also I was getting to the point where between old football stuff, old baseball stuff, old rugby stuff, everything just hurt. You know, I guess the old cliche, like you start entering your 40s and everything starts falling apart. So basically started in January. First few days were definitively not easy. It was a whole lifestyle change. I'm kind of, for lack of a better word, kind of a dude's dude, a Miller High Life guy, you know, going out with buddies, just eating whatever. I've always been able to do that. I was always very active, but modifying simple things, just changing my diet, you know, getting on all the supplements that I'm on now. I guess the biggest thing, I haven't taken a Nexium now in 4 months. And actually I'm starting to get off of Tums. I was taking Tums in sort of the process because I get these bouts of acid reflux when I wasn't taking the Nexium. And then I haven't taken an Aleve. I was taking an Aleve every day. I haven't taken an Aleve probably since we started. I think I cut myself off the day we started. So that's probably going on now 10, 11 months.
Wow. That's impressive. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
I mean, and just talking about these few things, we're talking about inflammation with the Aleve, like musculoskeletal inflammation. We're talking about digestive issues, taking these over-the-counter medications and prescription medications for a long time. I think about how many people out there listening to this, either they are going through it or they know somebody that they can go through the day, right? They can work, they can function, but it's not necessarily a great quality. And it's these, their body's trying to tell them something, and these medications aren't necessarily the best thing to be taking for years and years on end. So, I mean, for you, like, did you go into this thinking, man, this is insurmountable, this will never happen? Like, what was your mindset when you first started the protocol that we put together?
After taking Nexium for 25 years, I didn't think I could go a day without it. And there are certain days, you know, it's funny, like Samantha makes her ground chicken with zucchini and bone broth. And like, I still get reflux or like tinges of it from like weird stuff you would never think.
Yeah.
And I have to be mindful, like if I am going to take a Tums, like I try to stick to like three a day, or I try to like space them out. But it's actually a story, so I'll give you a story that happened. So last week I sit on the board of a homeless veterans nonprofit. We had our golf outing, and I had a guy I've known for 5-6 years, this guy Steve, reach out to me, and he sent me a picture of me and him when we first got there, and just like kind of like bro hug, whatever. And he sent me the picture and he said, this photo was the like straw that broke the camel's back for me in terms of, because he's, you know, a big dude. He played high school football, the whole thing. And his, I guess last week he had like a big scare where his blood pressure, he sent me the reading. And I spent basically all day Thursday afternoon with him on the phone, because the way that I looked, he's like, I haven't seen you, you know, in probably 6 months. And it was like night and day, the way you looked, the way, you know, like, and for me, I'm on this like downward spiral where I put on weight. I've, you know, got high blood pressure now. And he's probably younger than me, if the same age, maybe mid 40s. Mm-hmm. And so I spent the day talking to him about what I was doing. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm working with this guy, Dr. Cole, out in Pittsburgh, and it's functional medicine. But that's just a story to kind of tie it up with a bow, that people, the other thing I had was like on my face up here and on my chest, I had this rash from candida and like all this stuff that I didn't even know was going on. Mm-hmm. A big sugar guy, you know, like just taking dairy out of the equation, taking, you know, refined sugar out of the equation. Like I love ice cream. Now I just eat
dates. Who doesn't?
Yeah, like now I eat dates and apples, and it's like, right. I don't even, I mean, I miss the ice cream a little bit, but
yeah. We can give you some recipes for some better for you ice cream that loves you back. I'll circle back after we're done recording. I'll send you some you can have. All right, let's go back to the lab time. I'm always curious in hindsight, like as we, someone that's gone through this process, what was there anything that was the most surprising for you on the labs that we ran that was maybe validating maybe to you and learning about your health and your body?
Yeah, just the, a lot of it had to do with the habits, I guess, that I was putting together. So for myself, like I said, I love sugar. I do. I'm a sugar guy. I've found ways around it. And almost immediately, the rash on my chest and just from like the candida, the rash on my chest, the rash on my skin that I thought was just dry skin, it wasn't. It was, yeah, you know, everything that was going on in my body. And I mm-hmm. think the labs like really validated for me that everything starts in your gut, I guess, and mm-hmm. goes out from there. Like, I didn't want to believe it. Like I said, like I could still, if I wanted to go out, like I don't run as much as I used to. If I wanted to go out tomorrow and get through a 10-mile race, I could do it. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot better doing it now than I did, but I'm like, Samantha jokes, because we're very different in this respect. Like I got a little bit of Peter Pan syndrome. Like if I want to go out there, like I compete with, you know, I coach my son, he's a 7th and 8th grade, he plays football. Like I'll go out there and start like, you want to line up with a kid in pads? Like, let's go, like, I'll do it. And 9 times out of 10, I'm, you know, pushing the kids back, even though they're starting to weigh more than me now. But yeah, like there's a little bit of Peter Pan syndrome, but validating that was the fact that these labs were telling me something that was going on inside my body, which was starting basically in my gut and radiating out everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And the proof is really in the pudding. Like,
yeah.
To say that I was nervous about not taking a Nexium after taking one every day for 25 years could be the understatement of the eon, I guess. Mm-hmm. I was scared out of my mind. Mm-hmm. And Samantha would push me. She's like, you can do it. And then when I try it, I'd go a day, I'd be okay. I go 2 days. And then by the end of the second day, I'd be like, Samantha, it's coming back, you know, and it's coming back worse. Mm-hmm. She'd be like, you need to take time to heal. It's going to take time to heal. And
yeah,
just through that, like positive reinforcement, she's been great for me. I mean, for her, it's been a wildly amazing journey. You know, for me, like I sit here and talk and I'm kind of like, all I had to do was get off Nexium and elite. Like Samantha had serious, serious things going on that I give her a ton of credit for, but you know, now like the kids are on it and you know, like the girls, it's easier because they'll listen. Like Luca's, he's just like me. He's, you know, he's a renegade. Like he just wants to, you know, he's got his buddy sitting there eating pizza and burgers and fries, but he's starting to come around to it too. And he's mm-hmm. feeling better. And so the whole family now can see the difference. So that's been the yeah. validation and everybody's different.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you brought up a few good points here is that it's easy to compare ourselves to someone that's going through something worse than us, right? And almost like, well, almost in a way, gaslight ourselves. It's not that bad. It's someone else is worse. And that's true. But I think it's relative to what quality of life you want to live, right? And be the best version of you. Mm-hmm. And everybody, some people do have shorter journeys. Some people have longer, non-linear journeys to healing. But it's what, like you said, you already could do things that other people your age could, you know, couldn't do, but you could elevate your health, even take it to the next level even more so. And the second thing that I think you brought up that's really profound is family dynamics with healthy. I see this all the time is that when mom and dad, parents get healthy, the culture shift in the home. And it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes there is like a coup d'etat in the home of like, what the heck are you doing? You're changing my meals. And we want to make it realistic and practical for people. So it is a personal decision on what that looks like. But I love the fact that you guys have started to shift the culture in the home of we're going to have different options for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And really, I think of the legacy that shifts. Like so many of these things, when you look at the research of intergenerational stuff, both from a mental emotional standpoint with trauma, but also food habits, right? And culture, like cultural things of this is the way it's been done, or this is the way that I was raised. And they just, it goes generation to generation, and the chronic disease and health problems that can ensue from that. And you're breaking the cycle in many, many levels. Have you ever thought about that? Because I think it's commendable that you guys have done that.
I never thought about it that way. I mean, for my family, growing up in a, you know, an Italian house, it was always Sunday dinner. And
you
know, there was a lot of heart disease, stroke, you know, things like that, that, you know, my dad, I mean, the journey that I'm going on, my dad dropped dead when I was 18 years old. You know, he was older, he was overweight, you know, scared the living daylights out of me. So doing this, I always thought by exercising more and, you know, by doing that, I would outwork, you know, or outdo my, you know, my dad and how that happened. And, you know, it's the trauma as you're going through it too. It's funny because an outlier, or maybe not an outlier, but an outlier for me was dealing with the trauma, you know, being an 18-year-old kid, being 6 weeks, you know, I was the product of a second marriage. So I was the second, you know, I was an only child in that marriage. You know, I left a very guarded life, you know, here in suburban New Jersey, going to high school, following my dream of wanting to go up to the University of New Hampshire. I go up there 6 weeks in, I get a call, you know, from my mom or my dad the week before he passed away. And he was like, I want you to come home for the first homecoming that we're having. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. Like, I'm starting to make friends up here. And he was so adamant about it. And it was almost like, now I look back, the 28th anniversary of his death was last week. It was October 16th.
Wow.
And I sit there and I'm like, he was so at, my dad was like a type Z. My mom's the type A. So I get more of her. Like, that's my competitive natural way. And I just sit there and I'm like, he was so adamant about it. He's like, come home, come home, come home. I want to see you. I want you to be here, you know, whatever. And I was like, all right, I'll come home. And then that following Monday, I went back up. That following Monday, he was dead. I got a call. Wow. You know, a priest came walking down our hallway in my dorm. And dealing with that trauma, it has also been something that I think I've buried for the last 28 years. So it still manifests itself. I'm not going to say I'm perfect. I'm not, you know, like, I still, Samantha and I are going through a season right now. You know, all three kids are busy. We have a huge building thing going up in a complex across the street that's, you know, going to change our lifestyle. If it goes up the way it's going to go up, there's a lot of time and a lot of energy spent on it, but it's the little times that we have to be able to unpack stuff. And I think that's been, for both Samantha and I, for different reasons, it's been a really big part of this journey as well, unpacking that emotional trauma. Because as a dude, you know, like, you're like, yeah, my dad died 28 years ago, whatever. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm tough, I'm good, you know. And every year it comes around and I feel like I unpack a little bit more, or I think about it on that day.
Yeah.
So that's been another part of it too, is unpacking some old baggage.
Yeah. I see that oftentimes where it's, for some people, it's the mental, emotional, spiritual stuff, if you will. We have to start leaning into that earlier onto their protocol to be able to even handle the physiological stuff and the food changes and like people's reaction to food changes, like their emotional reactions to it, or their bandwidth, or like their resilience to even make changes, right? And for some people, it's the other way around, where it's like, if we start making food changes, as inflammation levels start to lower, like you're saying, if their gut-brain axis and the crosstalk between their gut and their brain starts improving, I see these things come to the surface, these mental, emotional, spiritual things, being able to process them and like clear them in a way. It's powerful and it's important. Yeah. And you're still, I mean, I know it's been months like working together as with team and I with you, but it's just beginning for you. Like, we're looking at the things that need to be healed on a physical level and a mental, emotional level. It takes 2 years plus, or what I find for most people, somewhere in that band, like a year to 2 years for people. So, I mean, your body's only can continue to heal as you go through this. Do you feel like, I don't know, like as you're, however old your dad was, like I've seen with patients as they approach the age that their parents were, it starts to like hit you like, whoa, seeing life through their eyes in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, my dad was 68 when he passed. So like,
right.
I mean, he was way older than me. I still got 22 years to get there. But yeah, I think that there's a fundamental shift in the way.
Like your role as a dad, I guess, is another way of.
My role as a dad, my interaction, some of the mistakes that I still make with parenting. My dad was real old school. So, you know, like short story, played football in high school, broke two fingers, like sideways, got in the car. I was like, he's really hurt. Like, I think I need to go get these x-rayed. He's like, tape him up, man. Tape him up, go back in, you know? And it wasn't like in a malicious way. It was just coming from a dude who was born in 1927, didn't graduate high school and was like, this is the way we, you know, he was a great father. Like, you know, I was, you know, people tell me even today, they're like, you were literally, I have two older sisters that he had from a previous marriage. And they're like, you were the apple of his eye. Like you were everything. Damn. But yeah, there's a shift. Do I always get it right? No. You know, there are moments that still take me back to that. And that benchmark of sort of parenting, which right, wrong, or indifferent, is probably not the way I want to be parenting, you know, Luca with football. You know, probably get him to take an x-ray. Like, kid just got a concussion, not even playing football, you know, got hit in the head with a basketball at recess a few weeks ago. Yeah. I just want him back. Like, I want him back. And it was a sore point for a little bit because I dealt with a bunch of them. But, you know, you see things through a different lens. And as you get older, I think I'll always be an enigma wrapped up in a conundrum because I am like trying to stay young for as long as possible. So that part of the journey for me is my body. Like after we're done here, I'm going down to lift. Like there are days where I go and I'm still very active. I'll go and lift. I'm going to go for a run today, whatever. It's beautiful outside. I think the other thing too, in maturing, not to see it through my parents' eyes, sorry if I got off track a little bit, but is listening to your body. I think for me, like I used to go all out every day and my body just, it can't do that anymore. So there are certain days where I'll go for a walk now and I'll just kind of take it all in. And, you know, with my business, Samantha's got her business and I have my business. Sometimes that's just what I need. You know, I need to be able to go out in nature and just walk and, you know, walk. I still walk 4 miles. Like I'm not like going out for a mile walk, but that time gives me time to like pause and get clarity. So there's a little bit of maturity going on there. Not much, but a little bit.
And I'm thinking, like you mentioned, like the old school Italian way or American way for many people of like, this is what meals look like. This is what we do. Like you are shifting that for your kids. Oh, yeah. And they're amazing kids. You guys are doing amazing things. So that's what gets me excited is yes, it's you and Samantha getting healthy, reclaiming your health, but it's also the legacy for the kids too, which is powerful. You mentioned the nonprofit that you sit on the board of, and I really like to highlight projects or work that our telehealth patients are doing. So I'd love for you to share anything you want to share with everybody.
Yeah. Well, one of the core values, and I really liken it to another one of your patients, my mother-in-law, when I first started DSM, you know, Janet was like, giving back is a big part of what we do. So it's always been a core value for me at DSM, but the four, I sit on the board of this charity called Backpacks for Life that give backpacks to homeless veterans that are filled with basic everyday essentials, and been a part of that for a while. We also have down in Paterson, New Jersey, myself and two friends started a fashion show that's going on year, I think in 2024 will be year 14 or 15. And we've been able to raise $1.5 million for a community now called Eva's Village in Paterson that deals with addiction, you know, right across the board. It was started as a soup kitchen. So they serve, I think, lunch and dinner or breakfast and lunch every day to the homeless people in Paterson, which is a great venue for just not only my team at the office, but the kids, hopefully when they get old enough. Olivia's just starting to get old enough to be able to go there and volunteer. And then just other, the J Fund, a friend of mine, the former coach of the New York Giants, Tom Coughlin, started it when he was in Boston College. And they work with kids and families with pediatric cancer that are dealing with pediatric cancer, just to be there emotionally, spiritually, financially. And then I just got involved with with the CL7 Foundation, which is friends of ours through my CFO in town here, who lost their son to Ewing sarcoma when he was a sophomore and a freshman or sophomore. I think Charlie was 15, maybe 14 or 15 when he passed away. And then the Spring Lake Hope Foundation, which is giving toys and building houses for kids with severe disabilities. And so I try to, sometimes it's a lot, but it's a big part of like getting to see the shift and changes, like actually be a part of it. It's pretty cool.
That's amazing. I don't know how you all have time for all of this, but it's commendable. I mean, it's powerful. Yeah. You guys are really like just amazing people. I mean, the clinic and I love you guys so much. I mean, people are getting a little bit of the context or conversation that I've had the blessing and the sacred responsibility of taking care of a lot of people within your family's health journey. And we do take that seriously. So thanks for trusting us. And thanks for taking the time out and talking with me.
Thank you for having me. Thank you to you and all your staff for really making an impact in our lives. I'm not just saying that, like, it's been a journey. Some days are harder than others, as we all know, but It's been great. And we're seeing, you know, we're seeing tangible results that, you know, and everybody in their own way is going through their own thing. And, you know, we're a little bit better every day.
Thanks, Darren.
Yeah. Thanks, Dr. Cole.
Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back again next Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.